Not only has Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang signed a new contract with the Arsenal, I'm delighted to be joined by a top, top guest. Hello and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by Manscaped.com. I'm delighted to be joined once again by the excellent Adrian Clark. Hey, dear mate, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Harry. Yeah, thanks for having me. But yeah, no, it's all good, especially today, what with some certain news breaking, hey?
Absolutely. And I've got to make it clear, we didn't actually plan this episode knowing that that news was going to break today. It's just pure coincidence, and it's worked out brilliantly because we can get your reaction to the news. We can look back on the victory over Fulham, which I'm assuming all Arsenal fans were pleased with. We could talk a little bit about transfers too. So lots and lots to get through as always. Adrian, let's start with the Aubameyang news because it's massive. I mean, it's been the world's worst kept secret, hasn't it? We all knew it was coming. There'd been reports from some really reliable sources over the last sort of few weeks being very clear and forthright about the fact that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang had agreed a deal. Arsenal killed us with the announcement. It took forever. How significant is this for Arsenal as a football club moving forward?
Yeah, well, it was one big wind-up, wasn't it, from Arsenal's media department. So well played them. How big is it moving forward? It's huge because he is a guy that is in... Basically, this was his final big contract and he had options, we're led to believe, to join somebody like Barcelona and other Champions League clubs would have been in for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And he chose us. He chose the option, and he explained it in his video. He chose the desire to become an Arsenal legend outweighed the possibility of playing a couple of years Champions League football for somewhere else, somebody else, and earning big cash elsewhere. No, I think it's huge because it sends a signal out that he, our best player, believes in the head coach or manager, we should call him now, of course. He believes in Mikel Arteta, and that, I think, will help us recruit some top talent moving forwards and just make everybody at Arsenal feel like they're at a truly big club. And that's what Arsenal are. They're a massive club, biggest club in London, one of the biggest clubs in the world in terms of fan base. Aubameyang wants to be a Gooner. It's absolutely fantastic. And it gives us a platform to continue this improvement that we've seen under the manager.
Absolutely. And you speak about sort of Aubameyang wanting to become a legend, and he really sort of hammered home that point, didn't he? During the video, he kept saying it, he kept bringing it up. And I mean, when you talk about a club as big as Arsenal with a fan base like Arsenal's, you know, of course, that's what players want, isn't it? As a footballer, you want to be loved, you want to be recognized for your efforts. And I'm delighted that he signed, and as much as we knew it was coming, it just feels nice to get it over the line and get that official confirmation.
Well, when we've had players at the peak of their powers, you know, your Van Persies and Fabregas, guys like this, to a lesser degree, you know, Adebayor and Nasri and those guys, but in particular Van Persie, he came to that juncture, didn't he? Last big contract, do I stay and become a Gunners legend, or do I go for the Premier League title where I think somewhere else where I believe they've got a better chance and earn more money? And he took that option, and fair play to him. He did get that Premier League title. So this was huge because it's happened to us before, but this time it didn't happen. That he sees something. He sees enough in Mikel Arteta, in the teammates around him, to believe that Arsenal is the place to be moving forwards. And look, I think we've all seen big improvements over the last 6 months or so. And I'm chuffed to bits that Pierre-Emerick has seen that too. You know, he's well placed to do that. He's the skipper. He's our talisman. And yeah, I'm so excited about the coming season. Now, not that I wasn't anyway, but it would have been so deflating to see him leave.
Yeah, agreed. And a lot has been made of, you know, maybe Aubameyang was waiting to see what the club were going to do this summer, whether the club were going to show ambition. Do you believe that, and I know we're not sort of in the know on this, but is it your gut feeling that Arsenal have signified to him that they are currently working on some of those big deals we spoke about last time. And that is why he's decided, or partly why he has decided to commit his future.
We won't know. It wouldn't be the first time. If it's happened, it wouldn't be the first time that a board, a manager, has promised a player that we're going to sign this player, we're going to sign that player. So maybe that has happened. But I think he's already had an indication with Gabriel and Willian, two high-class players coming in already this summer. He's got an indication of where the team is going. He's not daft. He knows that central midfield area is an area that we desperately need to strengthen and reinforce. But these things can't just happen like that, can they? Unless you've got untold riches, and we don't at the moment. So it's a case of wheeling and dealing. And maybe they've opened up to him and said, look, we're going to shift this player, and bring in these. Who knows? I don't know. And nothing can be guaranteed on those things until, of course, they've signed on the dotted line. But look, I'm confident. Last time I was on this show, we talked about two central midfielders, two really exciting targets. I'm confident we'll get at least one of them. But, you know, I think we'd all love to get two. But maybe that's pushing our luck.
Yeah, getting two would be fantastic. But I'm like you. I think one is probably a more realistic target. And if we got one, don't underestimate the significance of that and the impact that player would have on the team. Whether it is Thomas Partey, whether it is Houssem Aouar, they're both upgrades on what we currently have and would both improve us as a team and as a squad. So we've got to be excited about that. Hopefully Arsenal can get one of those deals over the line. But I just wanted to pick your brain on one more thing, Aubameyang related, before we sort of moved on. It was reported by Sky Sports this evening that a couple of clubs were interested in Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and made moves for him, and that he had turned down substantial sort of offers in order to stay with Arsenal. That is just such a big statement, isn't it, to the rest of the world watching on, because it feels in the last few months that people outside of Arsenal Football Club have started to take us seriously again. Yeah. And so for Aubameyang to choose Arsenal over some, and the clubs were unnamed, they haven't named them. Some people in the chat saying that it was Barca and Inter. I don't know how true that is. But it's just massive, isn't it? I mean, to know that Aubameyang chose to stay at Arsenal rather than go elsewhere, to the rest of the world now, it makes us look like a really serious proposition.
It does. It really does. I think it all stems from those victories after the lockdown, actually. The wins against Liverpool and City and Chelsea, and then subsequently the way that we've started this season. It's getting so much better, isn't it? And he wants to be a part of it. He is the main man. And look, I think there's a lot to be said for being the main man somewhere. You go to Barcelona, you're never going to be the main man. Ask Luis Suarez, ask Felipe Coutinho, some fantastic players, you know, Dembele. So many quality players have gone there and been overshadowed by Messi. With Inter, it's a, you know, it's a trigger happy club. You don't know if Antonio Conte is going to be there long term. We don't know what's going to happen. So
I don't know if Antonio Conte is going to get Furry's toys out the pram as well.
Exactly. He's got stability. He's got a manager here that loves him. He's got a fan base that adore him. The teammates are clearly is the life and soul of the dressing room. He seems like an absolutely brilliant lad as well. He wears the armband. He scores the majority of the team's goals. And we pay him a fortune for the privilege of wearing the badge. So look, I think there's many, many reasons to stay. But the temptations were there, I'm sure, for him. Champions League football is huge for footballers these days. No one wants to miss out on it, especially those at a very elite level. And make no mistake, Aubameyang is at the very elite level. He can walk into most Champions League clubs. For him to spurn that, to stay here, does send a message. It tells you that he believes it's not going to be long before we're sitting at that top table again. And the fact that he's here gives us a better chance to do that, doesn't it? So it's a win-win all round. Yeah. And look, for me, I said it on the breakdown this week, when he comes in off that left-hand side to have a goal-scoring opportunity, I don't think there's a better front man in the world right now than Aubameyang in those positions. So we're very, very lucky to have him.
Agreed. Let's say a big hello to everybody who's currently watching us live at the moment. There are over 250 of you joining us at the moment across the multiple platforms. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Hit the like button if you haven't already, whichever platform it is you're watching us on. If you're watching us on Twitter, come over to YouTube. Give us a like there as well. And just going to pick up a couple of comments before we move on to talk about that Fulham game a little bit, of course. An excellent win. Let's see what we've got here. I'm just going to pick a couple at random. Arsenal Granny, I love this screen name, says that. Great news today, Arteta strikes again. So the general feeling amongst the fan base is very much that Mikel Arteta has been key in all of this, and he has, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, what Mikel Arteta wants, he tends to get at the moment, doesn't he? It's a very nice place for him to be. I think it's really significant that he was upgraded from head coach to manager. It might seem like a small change, you know, just a change in job title, but I think it outlines the control that he now has and the control that the club are willing to give him. They trust his judgment implicitly. And when he told them, we need Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang to stay. Whatever it costs us, we have to give him the deal that works for him. The club backed him on that, so it's fantastic. And yeah, that relationship between manager and skipper has always been so important. And look, let's be honest, how nice is it to have a captain that wants to commit themselves to Arsenal? I mean, when was the last time we had one? It was probably Mikel Arteta himself, wasn't it? And unfortunately, Mikel, when he had the armband, was often injured, which was really, really unfortunate. But it's been a bit of a poison chalice. We've seen players wearing the armband choose to leave or just not be playing well enough to get into the team. And finally, we've got a guy that's at the peak of his powers that can lead us out. And I do feel that when you've got someone like Aubameyang at the front of the line when you're coming out of a tunnel. And I've been there, you know, stood side to side with the teams in the Premier League, and you look across, particularly if you're one of the younger players, and you think, blimey, yeah, he's a good player, he's decent. And you look at the captain, it's a Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. It's imposing. It's a good figurehead for the club. And yeah, this is a really, really good day for Arsenal fans.
For sure. And you mentioned that about the captain sort of in the tunnel and sort of you were at Arsenal at a very different period in terms of sort of the culture at the club and stuff. I mean, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is not a Tony Adams style captain, is he? He's not going to go around beating his chest, sort of imposing himself in that way, but he leads by example, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Tony did beat his chest, by the way. he would scream and shout. He was great. But no, I mean, that's probably a bit old school these days. I mean, you get players that like that. It takes all sorts. That in the modern game, you don't need captains to be screamers or shouters. But what you need them to do is set the right tone and play with a good attitude. He's definitely done that since he was given the captaincy. I think we've seen even more work rate from him. His body language has by and large been excellent. And he stepped up to the plate. In the big moments, he's delivered for the team. When we've really needed him, he's come up trumps, and I think that's really important for a captain to do. Adams used to do it when I was there, and after him, Patrick Vieira, who, you know, privileged enough to play alongside a couple of times, he led by example, didn't he? When things weren't really going your way, it's a tight game, Patrick would be the driving force, and I do feel that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is that kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the live comments just quickly. Jan, who's actually a Spurs fan, is watching us at the moment and says, Arteta's doing the right thing at your club, making it a family again, something that we've lost at Spurs, I believe. Mm. And yeah, you know, I think Spurs lost that the day they appointed such a divisive figure as their manager. But there you go. Let's see what else we've got here.
On that though, yeah, I think that it's a really good point. I mean, I'm sure that he's trying to make it a family at Spurs. We're not bothered about them like up the road. With all due respect. No, I think that very early on, he wanted to get the group together, but he also drove up standards. He wasn't willing to tolerate the small things, you know, bad habits that have crept in over time. He really knuckled down on it straight away and got everybody on board and said, look, if you're part of my family, this is how we behave, and I will look after you. I will treat you brilliantly, but you've got to play by my rules. You've got to drive up standards a little bit. And I think everyone that is part of his first team squad at the moment did buy into those, into his morals and what he was looking for. And that has built a really strong bond. And I tell you what builds a bond, and I hate to bring this up to Jan, the Spurs fan, it's winning silverware. When you climb the mountain together, you know, so many near misses, and it can be dispiriting. And in the end, people leave, they get fed up, they lose faith. When you climb the mountain, okay, the FA Cup's not as high a mountain as the Premier League. When you get to the summit together, that feeling is very, very special, and it makes you want more, and it gives you belief that more will follow. And that has definitely bonded and brought this family atmosphere into the club. So I'm really pleased about that point being made.
For sure, for sure. Great point, Jan. And Ilka says, Adrian, raise your eyebrows if Awa is a done deal.
I can't. I wish I could. I have not got a clue. I've got zero. Look, do the analysis, Arsenal, let me do it. They don't interfere. They're very, very good with me. And, you know, let me judge the match on its merits, and they let me put it out there. They're awesome. But they do not let me into any secrets, I'm afraid. It is, every football club is real hush-hush. I bet you there are many, many staff members at Arsenal that you know, because I'm just a freelance guy that sort of comes in and out. I bet you there are tons of staff members that never get any tidbits. It's really, really hush-hush in terms of targets. All I know is that the manager rates him, and I trust his eye. I trust that he sees him as the right guy. And when I've watched Hussein Awa, I think he's just got the spark. He's got the speed across the turf. He will press from the front. You know, from midfield, he'll go and close people down with intensity. And then when he's on the ball, he's clearly very sharp, very talented and creative. And look, when you think about what this team needs, it is someone like that. What if he does come in the current formation, it's a little bit more of a quandary about where he would fit in, because he would have to possibly play a little bit deeper than he does for Leon. So you do wonder, would we have a change of shape if he was to come in? But I don't know, but I sincerely hope he is.
Yeah, me too. Let's say a big hello to Simon Alavi, who's one of our panelists on the Social Club show that we do. He says he's not an Arsenal fan, by the way, either. And he says, pains me to say it, but that Arsenal third goal is what football is all about. So let's move on to the Fulham game. I've seen your breakdown, really enjoyed it. Anyone who hasn't, head over to arsenal.com and check out Adrian's breakdown of that one. You will really, really enjoy it. What were your overall thoughts on the performance before I come to ask you about sort of a couple of individuals?
Well, on the last word, I used the term accomplished. I thought that's what it was. It was really confident. I love the way we were popping the ball around. The movement was more intuitive than I think it was last year. Certainly pre-lockdown, it's chalk and cheese from that West Ham game, which was the last game before COVID came in. We were still a little bit of a mess defensively and not that fluent going forward. We're so much more cohesive now. The movement is coming as second nature, and I think that's very, very exciting. And it was just, there was no panic, and you saw that with the third goal. I just felt that every player was really comfortable with what was being asked of them by the manager, and that is a huge step forward. So look, it's Fulham. Fulham, I think, will be in the bottom three. Possibly they might be, you know, in last place come the end of the season. We're going to have much stiffer tests. But that was comprehensive. That was as easy as it gets, in my opinion. We looked at the XG expected goals, and it was 0.15 from Fulham. I mean, that's a big difference to earlier on in the season when a lot of teams were expected to score, you know, two or three goals against us.
Absolutely. Adrian, you're getting lots of love in the comments at the moment. And you got this one from Stevenage Interview. Says, Clarkie, you Arsenal and Stevenage legend.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I loved it at Stevenage. Yeah, no, great times there. Just Yeah, it was a shame because the only reason I left Stevenage was, well, I fell out with the manager, but that's one thing. But yeah, they went full time, and I was at that point sort of early on a little bit more, well, you're, you know, not that early on in your journalistic career, but I was quite early on in it, and I didn't want to give that up to be a full-time footballer again. So I stayed part-time to continue being a journalist and playing good level football in the conference. So yeah, I was really sad to leave Stevenage.
Yeah, I can tell by the look on your face that the club means a lot to you. Just interestingly, before we come on to talk about a couple of individual performances from the weekend, I'm being informed in the live chat that Houssem Aouar has been sent off tonight for Lyon.
he's done the right thing then, hasn't he? He's resting up nicely.
That's it, exactly. They're currently trailing to Montpellier, and Houssem Aouar has
gone.
Been sent off.
His head's gone. He's elsewhere, isn't it? He's had his head turned. And, that's it. He's just thinking of North London now. There you go.
There you go. He's already a gooner. There you go. Let's talk a little bit about Gabriel's performance because, he's received a lot of plaudits and rightly so. There was that slightly hairy moment early on in the game where he kind of just didn't really check over his shoulder properly and he almost got caught out there. But after that, he just put that to the side and just got his head down and got on with it. And he looked confident, imposing. He knew exactly what he was doing. How impressed were you with this guy? Because I expected him to be of a certain level given the sort of price Arsenal had paid for him. But I've got to be honest, I was pleasantly surprised by the way he just came into the team seamlessly.
Yeah, good. Yeah, look, he wasn't up against much. I think we have to say that. They didn't give a great service into Fulham's forward. So it was a lovely debut for him. I think it was just a miscommunication, slight lapse in concentration for that early mistake. But yeah, it was really impressive how he bounced back from that. He did. He just put it to one side and carried on. And yeah, there was one or two clips I picked out in the breakdown of him out-muscling the front men. And you can see that he's going to do that. He's a very, very strong boy, isn't he, Gabriel? His passing was decent. I mean, he didn't try too many spectacular passes, but he kept things neat and tidy. I think he 108 successful passes, very high in terms of pass accuracy. So yeah, he looked after the ball nicely. Proved he can play in the centre, which I think is a big plus because we've kind of got used to David Luiz being the guy that we really trust and rely on, even though we know that one game in four or five, he might have an absolute nightmare. So we don't trust him implicitly. But it's good to know that Gabriel can play central with Tierney to his left. And look, that might be the way we go moving forwards. Yeah, no, it was really good. And it was a very smooth debut after that mistake in what was, I think, the second minute. I also liked his aerial strength. It was interesting that he took up positions zonally. They didn't ask him really to go man-to-man. They put him on the six-yard line at the near post, and he was a very hard man to beat. I think two, three times he cleared from those positions. And, of course, he scored a goal, which was and I'll tell you what that would do. The fact that he scored would definitely make him feel more at home. Once you contribute for a first team, then you suddenly feel like part of that family, and that's a big thing.
For sure. Guys, there are over 700 of you watching us live at the moment. I can't believe it. Thank you so much. So if you haven't already, smash that like button as well. Let's get those likes up as far as we possibly can. And then more people get to see the video and more people get to listen to Adrian's brilliant analysis. Let's talk a little bit about Willian, another debutant who impressed, had a hand in all three of the goals on the day. One thing that kind of came to my mind when I was watching the game was, you know, we spoke about it last time about the signing being partly to sort of add some experience to those positions in terms of the alternatives we have available. I look at Willian and I see a hybrid between a number 10 and a winger. Do you think that would have played a part in Mikel Arteta deciding that he was the man that they should go for?
Yeah, I think he likes that. He would like players that can occupy different positions. Most managers do. But yeah, what I think, why he's perfect is that he's diligent. He will do his bit for the team, a track back, and he just works really hard. He's busy, isn't he? He'll press when you want him to. He'll also track back if you need him to. And we saw examples of that. His positioning was clever. I mean, it should be. He's been playing at the top level for a long, long time. He was with Chelsea for donkey's years. Before that, Shakhtar. He's been in very good teams down the years. So positionally, he just knows what to do. He's played for some great coaches. So yeah, sometimes he'll hug the touchline. Sometimes he'll drift into those central areas. Sometimes he'll run in beyond, as he did with that sort of muddled first goal. And sometimes he'll prompt from deep, as he did with the, what a pass that was to Aubameyang for that third goal. It was, yeah, well, it was Saka-esque, wasn't it, from the Community Shield. So so no, I think for me, he was our man of the match. It was a very, very confident debut. He set pieces. Again, the delivery's spot on. On that, by the way, I thought that, well, we've got a new set piece coach, haven't we, from Brentford. Yep. And it was interesting. That was definitely a new corner. And it was a corner that placed total trust in the taker, because everybody was crowded in that 6-yard space. And so if he got it wrong, put it towards the penalty spot or swung it too much, it would have looked really embarrassing. But they trusted him and to keep it away from the keeper and to get it onto a blue head. And it was a brilliant delivery. And the Fulham defenders were just boxed in. It was very, very smart. And basically the idea was, if we get this delivery right, we back Gabriel or one of the other guys to outjump a Fulham defender from a standing jump, because that's what they're going to have to do. It's going to have to be from a standing jump. It was a smart set piece.
Yeah, indeed it was. I'm being told that Emi Martinez has just posted a message on his Instagram. I think thanking Arsenal. I haven't played it because obviously we're live on air. But it says, gracias. There's lots of people in the comments saying thank you, best of luck. Are you a bit disappointed that Emi Martinez has been sold to Aston Villa?
Yeah, I mean, on the last time we were on, I said I'd have had him in the team, and I stand by that. He did so well that I think he had to be in that team against Fulham if the club didn't make the decision that they've made. And look, I've got no issue at all with Bernd Leno being the number one. He's just as good, and it was a great save, wasn't it, from early on in the game that he produced. So no worries there. But yeah, I'm sad to see him go, because I wanted to be greedy. I wanted Arsenal to have two brilliant keepers. But look, needs must, I guess. And also players' careers, you have to give them, you know, an opportunity to play. And if Mikel had that conversation with Emi and said, look, Bernd's my number one, and look, you've been awesome, but I'm going to pick him, then it's not fair to keep him. And you know, he might well have said, I want you to stay. I want you to be back up to fight for your place. But in Emi's shoes, I think most footballers would have said, look, clearly I need to move on. I've come to that age. I'm a first team player now, and I have to go. And look, the upside is that we'll get hopefully a decent fee, and we can put it towards Hussein Awa or Thomas Partey, one of these two guys.
Yeah, indeed. Let's talk a little bit quickly about Lucas Torreira, because there have been a lot of reports this week that an agreement has been found or is close to being found with Torino that would see him go there. Of course, Marco Giampaolo is the manager there, someone he worked very closely with at Sampdoria and who's actually credited for his development quite a bit. I mean, Torreira, if it is 24 million euros, like they're saying in total, it's going to be paid in two instalments, we're hearing. Is that good business from Arsenal's point of view? Because I don't think we would have got more.
No, it's so, isn't it? I think that's decent. I can't remember what he came for. I think that's almost like you're getting your money back, isn't it? So there's no loss as such. No, he was good for periods, wasn't he? But I just don't sense he's happy in London. I don't think it's anything particularly to do with Arsenal. He's obviously fallen down the pecking order, but yeah, sometimes these things run a natural course, even if it's shorter than you want it to be. So no, if we can bring that kind of money in again, put that on top of the Martinez money, and he's pretty much got enough to go out there and attract a real high quality central midfield player. So no, I'd wish him well. I would be against a loan with a view to buy the season after. I think, you know, especially with a manager that he's worked with previously, it's like, come on, you know what you're getting.
You know what
here.
You're getting, yeah.
Yeah, stump up the money now. We need, you know, we're looking to raise funds. Let's do the deal now rather than in a year's time.
Yeah, agreed. Guys, I've got two requests from you at the moment. So if you want to get some questions in for the last few minutes, fill up the chat box now. put a queue at the front of your questions so that I can pick them out from the general comments, because the chat box is full up and I'm struggling to pick them out. So put the queues at the top. Also, let us know where in the world you are joining us from. We've been doing that on the last few streams, and it's been really fun and interesting to see actually where people are tuning into us from. Yeah. So,
there's gooners everywhere. Gooners there absolutely
is.
Everywhere.
There is. I've really learned that in the last few weeks. So guys, get those in the chat box now. And just a quick message with regards to our sponsors, new sponsors. Those of you who have been watching the show recently will know that we've teamed up with manscaped.com. So for all your male grooming needs, and the line that they've given me to give to you guys is, if you want your body hair to be as neat and tidy as the Emirates Stadium pitch, if you want your lawn to look as good as that, then head over to manscaped.com. If you use the discount code ChroniclesAFC, you get 20% off your order. That is an offer that is exclusive to Chronicles listeners, so do check that out. I know a lot of you have done it, used it already, because we get a notification when you do. And it's been incredible how many of you have picked that up. So do check it out. It's a good offer. It's a good deal. And I'm sure you'll find some of their products useful. And their branding is incredible. If you haven't checked it out, Adrian, have a look when you get some time. It's incredible.
Hey, look, it's a modern sponsor. I love it. We're here for the modern man, aren't we?
That's it. Exactly. Right. Let's have a look at where some of you guys are joining us from. We've got India, Seattle, Atlanta, Harlem, Dallas, lots in America at the moment. Kenya, we've got Canada, Lahore, Pakistan, Frankfurt, brilliant. Dubai, Springfield, Missouri. Lots and lots of you guys tuning in. Brilliant. There's over 900 now joining us live. So smash the like button if you can. Let's go to some of the questions before we wrap it up. This first one comes from Avon Teddington. He says, there's been a lot of talk about formations recently, whether we play a 3-4-3 or 4-3-3. Can we create more chances without Arteta changing how we set up this season?
It's a really good question from Avon Teddington there. Yeah, I think that the Fulham game was a good indication of that. I think it was a problem with 3-4-3, with the personnel that we've got at the moment, Hector and Ainsley, not the most, they're not wingers, are they? Let's face it, they're not the most creative players in the world. And we've got two central midfielders that effectively sit. We certainly did at the weekend with Xhaka and Elneny. Although actually they did press up higher than they have done in the past, but essentially they're deep lying. So basically it puts a lot of the eggs in three players' basket. You know, it's a lot of pressure on those three to go and create the chances. But what we saw against Fulham was those other people joining in, the movement. If the movement is good enough, and the movement definitely was good enough against Fulham, then you can open up teams. And we've seen that in the big cup games, on transitions mainly, but when we've been building from the back as well, we've sliced through some quality outfits. And a lot of that has been down to quality movement and rotation of positions. And that back three turns into a back four. We bring in someone in midfield, you know, with the fluid shape. And then suddenly we're into the opposition half. I still feel that on occasion we will need an extra attacking midfielder. But the match at the weekend certainly proved that if the movement's good enough, we can create enough. Now, yeah, was it enough against Fulham? Should we have created 20 plus chances? Possibly, I don't know. But that will come in time. So no, I'm confident. But look, if we do go 4-3-3, I would still expect it to be full of rotational movement and for us to look like we've got a back three at times. But what we will have in a 4-3-3 is a box-to-box midfielder. You'll have one pivot. Who will that be? We don't know as yet. And then you'll have two guys ahead, and one of those will always be looking to join in with Alexander Lacazette. And for me, that's the difference, because we've got the rule of six, haven't we, at the government at the moment here in the UK. But in football, it works that way. You get six people into the final third, things start to happen. You can create those overloads. What has happened until now is we've had four, sometimes five in there. We've relied on brilliance. I'd like to see us get more people in the box, and possibly a tweak to the system would help us do that.
Yeah, agreed. Let's find another question. Big hello to those of you joining us from Munich, Ethiopia, Brixton, South London. What else we've got here? Helsinki, Minnesota, Jamaica,
incredible, isn't it?
London,
it.
Cape Town, Orange County, Algeria, Uganda. Wow. Wow.
Well, look, Arsenal is a global club, and this is the reason players want to join Arsenal. I mean, we're looking at two targets at the moment, one place for Lyon, one place for Atletico Madrid. Two really good teams. But in world terms, it's not Arsenal. Arsenal has a big pulling power for players. And as Pierre was outlining earlier, you want to join that Hall of Fame. You want to be, you know, the next Henri, the next Pires, the next Vieira, the next Adams. It's, we shouldn't put ourselves down. I think sometimes Arsenal, we knock the club a lot. And I understand why why people have been down in the dumps the last few years. But yeah. But this is we all support a major team, let me tell you. And we'll be back there at the top table soon enough.
I'm sure we will. Fingers crossed. Ilka joining us from Helsinki says, Greetings from Helsinki. Keep up the good work with the breakdowns. Always waiting for them after the game. Is Awar more suited, I guess he's asking, to a 4-2-3-1?
It could be. Yeah, he could play as the 10. But I think he would probably be in a 4-3-3 is how I would see it. I see him as someone a little more like Aaron Ramsey that would come from deep, you know, scurry around midfield, link play, but then join it, have the energy to join in, and also the legs to make those burst pass players and make things happen. So yeah, he can play in either. If he was to come into this system, I would guess he would have to be one of the two in central midfield. I think he's capable of that, but you'd probably want a really defensive guy alongside him to make that work, because you wouldn't necessarily want him inside his own half picking the ball up too regularly. For me, Awar is a player that does damage inside the opposition half.
Yeah, absolutely. Question from Mike. He says, do you see Elneny keeping his place within this rejuvenated squad?
Wow, based on his performance of the weekend, you wouldn't be in a hurry to loan him out, would you, or sell him? I think he can be I said it before, I think he's a really good backup for Xhaka and Ceballos, because I don't see that much difference in terms of what they can offer. I mean, yeah, Elneny, he hasn't got that longer range of passing that Granit's got, and he hasn't got the skill of Ceballos, but he's neat and tidy, and he can keep things ticking over very, very well. What I liked at the weekend, he didn't stop moving. He was always finding space, showing for the ball. When he got it, he didn't dwell on it. They used to call them hod carriers, and he's a bit better than that. But I think he knows his limitations. His job is to get the ball off the back and give it to someone more talented to go and make things happen. And he did that brilliantly. I would keep him, especially, obviously, if we're going to sell Torreira and Guendouzi. I don't know what's going to happen with Guendouzi, obviously. But yeah, we're a bit light, and he could prove handy, particularly in the Europa League.
Yeah, agreed. I think he's someone you can rely on to a certain extent. You can rely on him to do his job. You know, you're not going to get anything spectacular,
no,
but you can rely on him to go out and carry out the manager's instructions, which at times is invaluable, isn't it?
Nearly scored, didn't he, as well? I mean, it was a lovely, lovely sort of dummy to control the ball. He was unlucky that his shot got blocked. So, yeah, and he scored goals for us before. So, yeah, I think we've probably all underappreciated Mo Elneny a bit. But, yeah, we know what he can offer. He's a good squad player.
Yeah, for sure. Clement, he says, Harry and Adrian, now it's 2:30 a.m. here.
Blimey.
In Indonesia. Very excited that Oba signed the thing. Do you guys think we'll be able to win the UEFA Europa League trophy with this current team? He puts in brackets, without Partey and Awar.
Well, if we had we'd probably leap towards favourite status. It'll be a little bit like last season. I think we've got a chance. We're one of the teams that can win it. I would be really disappointed if we didn't make it to the quarterfinals, at least with this team, probably the semi-finals. And there, from there, it's, you know, it's the luck of the draw. But look, we've proven ourselves to be a pretty good cup team, haven't we, under Mikel Arteta in one-off games. Tactically, he's been super astute. So yeah, I would fancy us actually to go deep in the Europa League. And I see no reason why we can't win it, even with this team. Because, look, we've got Oba, we've got Lacazette, we've got Willian, we've got Pepe. I mean, this that's some firepower. And now we're looking more solid at the back. It's just midfield. We need to boost the quality and the numbers. And then I think we've got a very, rounded squad. Obviously, the one concern will be goalkeeper moving forwards. We do need, I think, if Martinez has gone, then we do need to bring in someone that we can trust. Hopefully, they won't cost too much, but we need someone that will that if Leno does get injured again, it won't impact too negatively on the team. So that's a big call actually for the club to make in the coming days.
Yeah, we've been linked with Runarsson, who plays his football in France at the moment. A bit of an unknown, playing with Dijon in France, who has struggled. So not really sure how that one's going to pan out. But from what we're hearing, it's not going to be an expensive deal if it does get done. But I worry about that. I guess he's got a relationship with the goalkeeping coach, Inaki Kanye, who's come from Brentford. Mm. That's where the link has come from. But we'll have to wait and see what happens with that, of course. Guys, we've come to the end of the show. I want to say a massive thank you, first of all, to Adrian Clark for joining me again and agreeing to come back on, because everybody loved it last time and I'm sure they're going to love this one. Mm. Those listening now, those watching back later, those who are going to download it. So first of all, I want to say a massive thank you to you. I want to say a massive thank you to everyone who is tuned in at present, and just give you guys a quick reminder of how you can become a patron of the podcast if you wish. It is not compulsory, so I don't want anyone to feel like it is. We'll still take your questions, we'll still take your sort of requests, but if you want to support the podcast, you can do so for £3 per month. You head over to patreon.com/thechroniclesofaguna. With that, you'll get access to exclusive content, priority on our fans phone-in show, priority when submitting your questions for our experts such as Adrian, and you'll get a gift after 3 months of membership. So if you wish to do so, check out patreon.com/thechroniclesofaguna. But that brings us to the end. We peaked at 1,000 viewers live, which was unbelievable. We're going to be back very, very soon with more, and hopefully we can speak to you again soon, Adrian.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, no problem at all, Harry. Yeah, it absolutely flew by, didn't it? So, I'll be back on soon, I'm sure.
Good stuff. Until next time, guys, stay safe. Take care.